All right, 100 episodes. This is episode 100 of Doing Reads Goosebumps. 100 episodes strong of me being an asshole, getting drunk and reading Goosebumps. Yeah. Please tell a friend, celebrate by telling a friend. I'm recording this not over the intro song, so I hope it doesn't fuck it all up. Point is, woo, 100. Yeah, all right. That's pretty cool. Here we go. Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part 2 of Night of the Living Dummy 2 by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I don't know what to say in the intro. I'm finally drinking Steel Reserve again. This is 2 days after the last recording, because I'm trying to get this done. Last night I was going crazy, like, what am I doing with my life, goddamn? And sending morose tweets, which you can read at Dune on Twitter. And, I'm like, I just need to get these Goosebumps up. I don't need any money. Maybe I'll start trying to do animation stuff again. I don't know. That was fun for a while, but I get over everything. I should just do what I want, then somehow someone magically pays me. That seems like a much better system. Anyway, yeah, contact info. Yeah, just email me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps. I'll get back to you. I already said Twitter, and you already know the Facebook from the last episode, and Instagram. I'm just on the internet all the time. You know, that's all. Let's just get into this. Let me have a big pull off this here Steel Reserve first. Chapter number 11. When Dad came home and saw Sarah's room, he nearly exploded. I was actually worried about him. His face turned red as an Apache. His chest started to heave in and out like a black woman that got all worked up at church. And horrible gurgling noises came from his throat like some sort of gag fuck porn star. Dear God, I started out using the phrase gag fuck porn star in like the second paragraph. By the way, this is an 18 and up adult podcast. Christ, I need to take a shower after that one. That was inappropriate. The whole family gathered in the living room. We took our sharing night space places. Only, this wasn't family sharing night. This was, what are we going to do about Amy night? Amy, first, you have to tell us the truth, Mom said. She sat stiffly on the couch, squeezing her hands together in her lap. Dad sat on the other end of the couch, tapping one hand nervously against the couch arm, chewing his lower lip sensually. Jed and Sarah sat on the floor against the wall. Wait, don't have three kids if you can't afford furniture, idiots. I am telling the truth, I insisted shrilly. I slumped in the armchair across from them. My hair fell over my forehead, but I didn't bother to brush it back. My white t-shirt had tear stains in front, like some sort of emo Andrew WK, still damp. If you would only listen to me, I pleaded, like my dad's shorts, am I right? Pleat jokes! That's much better than the horrifying one I made previously. Okay, we're listening, Mom replied. When I went into my room, I started, there were splashes of paint on Slappy's shoes and, enough, bitch, Dad cried, jumping to his dad feet. But Dad, I protested, enough, he insisted. He pointed a finger at me. No more wild stories, young lady. No more starring in Girls Gone Wild either, okay? No, nothing at all. Don't hang out with that weird guy that I think's in prison now. Story time is over. We don't want to hear about paint stains on Slappy. We want an explanation for the crime that was committed in Sarah's room today. But I am giving an explanation, I wailed. Why did Slappy have paint on his shoes? Why? Dad dropped back onto the couch with a sigh. He whispered something to Mom. She whispered back. Parents. I thought I heard them mention the word doctor. Are you going to take me to a psychiatrist? I asked timidly. Do you think you need one? Mom replied, staring hard at me. I shook my head. No. Doesn't everyone who needs a psychiatrist think they don't? Your father and I will talk about this, Mom said. We will figure out our best thing to do. The best, whatever. Ooh, drinking break. The best thing to do? They grounded me for 2 weeks. No movies, no friends over, no trips to the mall. All we do is bow. No trips, anywhere. I couldn't even sneak sick dabs of DMT and trip balls. I heard them talking about finding me a counselor, but they didn't say anything about it to me. All week I could feel them watching me, studying me as if I were some kind of alien creature. Sarah was pretty cold to me. Her room had to be emptied out and a new rug installed. I think he means carpet, because you don't really install a rug. You just kind of throw it on the ground and then complain because all the corners are curved up. She wasn't happy about it. Even Jed treated me differently. He kind of tiptoed around me and kept his distance, as if I had a bad cold or something. He didn't tease me or tell me that I reek or call me names. I really missed it. No kidding. How do I feel? I felt miserable. You don't have to give such a bitchy answer to a question that you asked yourself. Dune, what are you doing? I'm just trying to fucking record Goosebumps, self! You know, it's, you don't have to respond like that. I wanted to get sick. I wanted to catch a really bad stomach flu or something, so they'd all feel sorry for me and my diarrhea and stop treating me like a criminal. One good thing, they said I could perform with Slappy at the party house on Saturday. Whenever I picked Slappy up, I felt a little weird. Maybe because you have your hand in a little dude's ass. I remember the paint on his shoes and the mess in my sister's room, but I couldn't come up with one single explanation. So, I practiced with Slappy every night. I had put a lot of good jokes together. Silly jokes I thought little three-year-olds would find funny. And I studied myself in the mirror. I was getting better at not moving my lips. And it was getting easier to make Slappy's mouth and eyes move correctly. I'm going to try to read Slappy as if I'm not moving my mouth. Let's try this. Honk, honk, I made Slappy say. Who's there? I asked.
Eddie.
Eddie who? I asked again.
Anybody?
I can't do it.
Anybody got a tissue? I have a terrible cold.
And then I pulled back Slappy's head, opening his mouth really wide and jerked his whole body as I made him sneeze and sneeze and sneeze. I thought that would really crack up three-year-olds. Every night I worked and worked on our comedy act. I worked so hard. I didn't know that the act would never go on. There we go. Ooh, another drinking break. This is a long chapter, but it's a good one, because I can booze. On Saturday afternoon, Mom dropped me off at the party house. Have a good show, she called as she drove away in a totally different voice than she's ever used. I carried Slappy carefully in my arms. Margot met me at the door. She greeted me with an excited smile. Just in time, she cried. The kids are all here. They're total animals. Oh, great, I muttered, rolling my eyes. They're total animals, but they're so cute, Margot added. Margot was always trying to get pregnant. She said she was going to be the first girl pregnant in our elementary school, and boy was she trying. She led me through the twisting hallway to the party room and back. Clusters of red and yellow balloons covered the ceiling. I saw a brightly decorated table, all yellow and red like some sort of low-rent McDonald's. A balloon on the string floated up from each chair around the table. Each balloon had the name of a guest on it. But the guests can't read. It's probably for the parents. There's no actual break here, but I'm having a sip of water. The kids were really cute. They were dressed mostly in jeans and bright t-shirts. Two of the girls wore frilly party dresses. I counted 10 of them, all running wildly, chasing each other in the huge room. Their mothers were grouped around a long table against the back wall. Some of them were sitting down. See, there's a time when you're like, able to just say, it's just moms there. Dads don't deal with this shit. But now it'd be like, there was 8 dads, and they were all in one big polyamorous relationship. Some were standing, huddled together, chatting. Some were calling to their kids to stop being so wild. I'm helping out, pouring the punch and stuff, Margot told me. Dad wants you to do your act first thing, you know, to quiet the kids down. I swallowed hard. First thing, huh? I had been excited. I could barely choke down my tuna fish sandwich at lunch. But now, I began to feel nervous. I had major fluttering in my stomach. Am I the only one that's bothered when people say tuna fish instead of tuna? That's like saying, like, I had some ham mammal sandwich, you know? No? Whatever. Margot led me to the front of the room. I saw a low wooden platform there, painted bright blue. That was the stage. Seeing the stage made my heart start to pound. My mouth suddenly felt dry like dunes. Could I really step up on that stage and do my act in front of all these people? Kids and mothers? And no fathers, because this was written in 95? I had forgotten that the mothers would all be there. Seeing adults in the audience made me even more nervous. "Here is the birthday girl," a woman's voice said. I turned to see a smiling mother. She held the hand of a beautiful little girl. The girl gazed up at me with sparkling blue eyes. She had straight black hair, a lot like mine, only silkier and finer. Wait, she's just describing Boo from Monsters, Inc. God, I can't believe they stole that, not only from that movie with the kid from Wonder Years with the monster, but also from R.L. Stein. R.L. Stein, he originated so much stuff that everyone just steals. Twilight, Lord of the Rings, all these things were stolen from R.L. Stein. He actually invented the doggy style position, based off the barking ghost. She had a bright yellow ribbon in her hair. It matched her yellow short party dress and yellow sneakers. Ooh, like the video for Gucci Mane's song Lemonade. "This is Alicia," the mother announced. "Hi, I'm Amy," I replied. "Alicia, would you like to meet your dummy?" the woman said.
"Is he real?"
Alicia asked. What a fucking moron. I didn't know how to answer that question. "He's a real dummy," I told Alicia. I propped Slappy up in my arms and slipped my hand in his back. "This is Slappy," I told the little girl. "Slappy, this is Alicia."
"How do you do?"
I made Slappy say in what apparently his voice is going to be from now on. By the way, ventriloquist dummies are ableist, and they mock people that are differently abled, and they're wrong. I read that on Tumblr. Alicia and her mother both laughed. Alicia stared up at the dummy with her sparkling blue eyes.
"How old are you?" I made Slappy say.
Alicia held up three fingers.
"I'm free,"
she told him. "Would you like to shake hands with Slappy?" I asked. Alicia nodded. I had lowered the dummy a little. I pushed forward Slappy's right hand.
"Go ahead," I urged Alicia. "Take his hand."
Alicia reached up and grabbed Slappy's hand. She giggled.
"Happy birthday,"
Slappy said, in a voice that he's not going to continue to do. To that extent, Alicia shook his hand gently. Then she started to back away. "We can't wait to see your show," Alicia's mother said to me. "I know the kids are going to love it." "I hope so," I replied, realizing this is the longest chapter ever and wanting to check what text message I received. Let's see who it's from. See, it's Fred. Oh, and he's talking about going fishing on Sunday. I'm literally just responding to a text right now. Sorry. I'm going to go fishing with my dad and possibly my buddy Fred on Sunday. Gio hates Fred right now. Fred, you'll remember as a listener, if you've listened to everything, when I used to live in the place before here, I lived there because I was half a block away from Fred. So I was constantly hanging out with him. He was pretty much a roommate, but we lived half a block away, and he's one of my best friends, and he's in my gang, the Teenage Vape Nazis. So, it's good, but sometimes Gio gets jealous of him. My stomach fluttered again. I was really nervous. I got the squirts. "Let's go," Alicia cried. She tugged at Slappy's hand. She giggled. "He won't let go," Alicia's mom laughed. "What a funny dummy." She grabbed Alicia's other hand. "Let go of the dummy, honey. We have to get everyone in their seats for the show." Alicia tugged a little harder.
"But he won't let go of me, mommy,"
she cried.
"He wants to shake hands."
Alicia gave a hard tug, but her tiny hand was still wrapped up inside Slappy's. She giggled.
"He likes me. He won't let go."
Well, you shouldn't have said you were free, am I right? It's a callback to the mispronounced free that R.L. Stein put in earlier. "Oh, look," her mother said, glancing to the door. "Phoebe and Jennifer just arrived. Let's go say hi." Alicia tried to follow her mom, but Slappy held her hand tight. Alicia's smile faded. "Let go," she insisted. I saw that several kids had gathered around. They watched Alicia tug at Slappy's hand. "Let go of me," Alicia cried angrily.
I leaned over to examine Slappy's hand. To my surprise, it appeared that his hand had clenched tightly around hers. Alicia gave a hard tug. Ow, he's hurting me, Mommy. More kids came over to watch. Some of them were laughing. Two little dark-haired boys exchanged frightened glances. Please make him let go, Alicia wailed. She tugged again and again. I froze in panic. My mind whirred. I tried to think of what to do. Had Alicia gotten her hand caught somehow? Slappy's hand couldn't really close around hers, could it? Alicia's mother was staring at me angrily. Please let Alicia's hand out, she said impatiently, about to sue. He's hurting me, Alicia cried. Ow, he's squeezing my hand. The room grew very quiet. The other kids were all watching now, their eyes wide, their expressions confused. I didn't know what to do. I had no control over Slappy's hands. My heart pounded in my chest. I tried to make a joke of it. Slappy really likes you. It's not a joke. I guess that could be said about everything I say in this podcast. So never mind, carry on, I told Alicia. But the little girl was sobbing now, little tears rolling down her cheeks. Mommy, make him stop! I pulled my hand out of Slappy's back. I grabbed his wooden hand between my hand. Let go of her, Slappy, I demanded. I tried pulling the fingers open, but I couldn't budge them. What is wrong? Alicia's mother was screaming. Is her hand caught? What are you doing to her? He's hurting me! Alicia wailed. Ow, he's squeezing me! Several kids were crying now. Bitches. Mothers rushed across the room to comfort them. Alicia's sobs rose up over the frightened cries of the other three-year-olds. The harder she tugged, the tighter the wooden hand squeezed. Let go, Slappy! I shrieked, pulling his fingers. Let go, let go! I don't understand! Alicia's mother cried as she is severely disabled. She began frantically tugging my arm. What are you doing? Let her go! Let her go! Ow! Alicia muttered in a high, heartbreaking wail. Make him stop! It hurts! It hurts! And then Slappy suddenly tilted his head back, his eyes open wide, and his mouth opened in a long, evil grin. That was the longest fucking Goosebumps chapter ever. God damn. I'm gonna, like, rehydrate and maybe take a nap after that. Jesus. It normally takes me just over twice as long. Maybe 2.5 times as long to record each episode as there actually ends up being audio. My girlfriend gets off work in like 3 hours, which means I gotta hurry my ass up. Because I gotta cook some lobsters. So, yeah. I'm gonna get on this. Chapter 12. I burst into the house and let the screen door slam behind me. I had taken the city bus to Logan Street. Then I had run the 6 blocks to my house with Slappy hanging over my shoulder. Amy, how'd it go? Mom called from the kitchen. Did you get a ride? I thought we were supposed to come pick you up. I didn't answer her, rude. I was sobbing too hard. I ran down the hall to my room and slammed the door. I hoisted Slappy off my shoulder and tossed him into the closet. I never wanted to see him again. Never! Wish I could just toss people into the closet. Be gone with you! I caught a glimpse of myself in the dresser mirror. My cheeks were swollen and puffy from crying. My eyes were red because I was blazed, dog! And my hair was wet and tangled and matted to my forehead. I took several deep breaths and tried to stop crying. I just need to do that overall, not in any moment. Just not be such an emotional bitch. Just kidding, I mostly just sit around bummed out, but not crying. I kept hearing the poor little girl's screams in my ears. Slappy finally let go of her after he uttered his ugly laugh. But Alicia couldn't stop crying. She was so frightened, and her little hand was red and swollen. The other kids were all screaming and crying, too. Alicia's mother was furious. She called Margot's dad out of the kitchen. She was shaking and sputtering with anger. She said she was going to sue the party house. Margot's dad quietly asked me to leave. He led me to the front door. He said it wasn't my fault, but he said the kids were too frightened of Slappy now. There was no way I could do my show. No one wants to see a ventriloquist show anyway. It's terrible. I saw him. By the way, how come I hate ventriloquist dummies so much, but I love me some Muppets? It's pretty much the same thing, right? I saw Margot hurrying over to me, but I turned and ran out the door. I had never been so upset. I didn't know what to do. A light rain had started to come down. I watched rainwater flow down the curb and into the sewer drain. I wanted to flow away with it. So poetic. Now, I threw myself onto my bed. I kept picturing little Alicia screaming and crying, trying to twist out of Slappy's grasp. Slappy's graspy! Mom knocked hard on my bedroom door.
Amy, what are you doing? What's wrong?
Go away, bitch! I yelled. Just go away! Step back! But she opened the door and stepped into my room. Sarah came in behind her, a confused expression on her face.
Amy, the show didn't go well?
Mom asked softly.
Go away!
I sobbed. Please!
Amy, you'll do better next time, Sarah said, stepping up to the bed.
She put a hand on my trembling shoulder.
Shut up, I cried. Shut up, Miss Perfect!
I didn't mean to sound so angry. I was out of control. Sarah stepped back hurt.
What? How can she be hurt by being called Miss Perfect?
There's a wrestler who made an entire career calling himself Mr. Perfect.
Tell us what happened, Mom insisted. You'll feel better if you tell us.
I pulled myself up until I was sitting on the edge of the bed. I wiped my eyes and brushed my wet hair off my face, and then suddenly, the whole story burst out of me. It'd be really annoying if I just put the whole first chapter I read in this part of the book right there of is the entire story and maybe like sped it up a little bit, but I'm not going to do it because as long as fuck in this episode, I think it's already going to run long if the chapters keep being long. I told how Slappy grabbed Alicia's hand and wouldn't let go, and how all the kids were crying and the parents all screamed and were making a fuss, and how I had to leave without doing my act, and then I leapt to my feet, threw my arms around my mom and sobbed again. She petted my hair the way she used to when I was a little girl. She kept whispering, shh, 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 wait till you see my shh.
You know, like the whisper song from the Yin Yang Twins.
Slowly, I began to calm down.
This is so weird, Sarah murmured, shaking her head.
I'm a little worried about you, Mom said, holding my hands.
The little girl got her hand caught, that's all. You don't believe that dummy grabbed her hand, do you?
Mom stared at me, studying me.
She thinks I'm crazy, I realized. She thinks I'm a total mess up. She doesn't believe me.
I decided I'd better not insist that was my story was true. I shook my head.
Yeah, I guess her hand got caught, I said, lowering my eyes to the floor.
Maybe you should put Slappy away for a while, Mom suggested, biting her bottom lip.
Ooh, just like Dad did it. Family sharing time.
Yeah, you're right, I agreed. I pointed. I already put him in the closet. He's there with Dad. But Dad's only there in a figurative sense, Mom. Maybe if you lost some weight, he'd still be attracted to you.
Good idea, Mom replied, assumingly in both accounts.
Leave him in there for a while. I think you've been spending too much time with that dummy.
Yeah, you need a new hobby, Sarah chimed in.
It wasn't a hobby, I snapped. Just like how Dune feels about Goosebumps.
This is my life!
We'll leave him in the closet for a few days, okay, Amy? Mom said. I nodded.
You never want to see him again, I muttered.
I thought I heard a sigh from inside the closet, but of course that was my imagination.
It probably was. It was probably Slappy, huh, listeners?
Get yourself cleaned up, Mom instructed. Wash your face. Then, come to the kitchen and I'll make you a snack.
Okay, I agreed.
Sarah followed Mom out the door.
Weird, I heard Sarah mutter.
Amy is getting so weird. Margot called after dinner. She said she felt terrible about what had happened. She said her dad didn't blame me.
He wants to give you another chance, Margot told me. Maybe with older kids.
Thanks, I replied. But I put Slappy away for a while. I don't know if I want to be a ventriloquist anymore.
At the party today, what happened? Margot asked. What went wrong?
So many girls have asked that horrible question the day after.
I don't really know, I said. I really just don't know.
That night, I went to bed early.
I'm so jealous.
Before I turned out the light, I glanced at the closet door. It was closed tightly. Having Slappy shut up in the closet made me feel safer. I fell asleep quickly. I slept a deep, dreamless sleep. When I awoke the next morning, I sat up and rubbed my eyes. Then I heard Sarah's angry screams down the hall. "Mom! Dad! Mom! Hurry!" Sarah was shouting. "Come see what Amy did now!" Oh, listeners, this is not going to be good for Amy, is it? No, it's not. Of course it's not. I go hard in the chapter 13, nigga. Leave you stankin', nigga. What the fuck you thinkin', nigga? Is that good? Oh, God, this podcast. I shut my eyes, listening to my sister's screams. "What now?" I thought with a shudder. "What now? Did she think I got red paint and gave her her first period?" Yeah, right. I didn't do that, okay? You can play that prank once. I'm not going to do it again. Oh! I let out a low cry when I saw my closet door was open a crack. My heart pounding. I climbed out of bed and began running down the hall to Sarah's room. "Mom, Dad, and Jed were already on their way. Mom, Dad, look what she did!" Sarah screamed. "Oh no!" I heard Mom and Dad shriek. I stopped in the doorway, peered in, and gasped. Sarah's bedroom walls, they were smeared with red paint. Someone had taken a thick paintbrush and scrawled "Amy, Amy, Amy, Amy" in huge red letters all over Sarah's walls, most likely because they just saw the movie Congo and Amy was voicing Amy's name and she was like, "Amy's scared," and then little Dune cried at the movie Congo. "Dear God, why did I cry at the movie Congo? No!" I moaned. I covered my mouth with both hands to stop the sound. My eyes darted from wall to wall, reading my name over and over. "Amy, Amy, 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 why my name? A-A-M-Y, that spells Amy." I suddenly felt sick. I swallowed hard, trying to force back my nausea. I blinked several times, trying to blink the ugly red scrawls away. "Amy, Amy, Amy, Amy." "Why?" Sarah asked me in a trembling voice. She adjusted her nightshirt and leaned against her dresser. "Why, Amy?" I suddenly realized that everyone was staring at me. I sputtered. "Amy, this cannot continue," Dad said solemnly. His expression wasn't angry, it was sad. "We'll get you some help, dear," Mom said. She had tears in her eyes. Her chin trembled. To be fair, probably always trembled. Am I right, listeners? Fat jokes. Jed stood silently with his arms crossed in front of his pajama shirt. "Why, Amy?" Sarah demanded. "But I didn't," I finally choked out. "Amy, no stories," Mom said softly. "But Mom, I didn't do it," I insisted shrilly. "This is serious," Dad murmured, rubbing his whiskery chin. I thought he was going to say whiskey chin. I was like, if those existed, I would have one. Just kidding. I mostly drink tequila and vodka, which is so not true. I mostly just drink fucking rot gut plastic bottle vodka all day. And Steel Reserve while recording. I try not to drink as much beer at home. "Amy, do you realize how serious this is?" Jed reached out two fingers and rubbed them over one of the paint scrawls. "Dry," he reported. "That means it was done early in the night," Dad said, his eyes locked on me. "Do you realize how bad this is? This isn't just mischief." I took a deep breath. My whole body was shaking. "Slappy did it!" I blurted out. "I'm not crazy, Dad. I'm not. You've got to believe me. Slappy did it. Amy, please," Mom said softly, which Dune didn't. "Come with me," I cried. "I'll prove it. I'll prove that Slappy did it. Come on." I didn't wait for them to reply. I turned and bolted from the room. I flew down the hall. They all followed silently behind me. "Is Amy sick or something?" I heard Jed ask my parents. I didn't hear the answer. I burst into my room. They hurried close behind. I stepped up to the closet and pulled the door open. "See," I cried, pointing to Slappy. "See, that proves it. Slappy done did it." This is chapter 14, yeah, 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 it's chapter 14, yeah, I agree, I just spit. That was gross. I pointed triumphantly at Slappy. "See? See?" The dummy sat cross-legged on the closet floor.
That's even gayer. Sitting cross-legged and on a closet floor? I mean, come on. You don't have to spell out the innuendo that much. His head stood erect. Oh, come on, R.L. Stine! On his narrow shoulders, he appeared to be grinning at us. A large butt plug with a horsehair sticking out the back sat clearly out of his ass. Just kidding, that didn't happen. Slappy's left hand rested on the closet floor, his right hand was in his lap, and in his right hand he clutched a fat paintbrush. The bristles on the brush were caked with red paint. I told you, Slappy, don't dare, I cried, stepping back so the others could get a better view. But everyone remained silent. Mom and Dad frowned and shook their heads. Jed's giggle broke the silence. This is dumb, he told Sarah. Sarah lowered her eyes and didn't reply. Oh, Amy, Mom said, sighing. Did you really think you could blame it on the dummy by putting the paintbrush in his hand? Huh? I cried. I didn't understand what my mom was saying. How do you not understand what she's saying? Okay, now you actually need to be in therapy for not being able to piece together how ridiculous that is. Did you really expect us to believe this? Dad asked softly. His eyes stared hard into mine. Did you think you could put the brush into Slappy's hand and make us think he painted your name on Sarah's walls? But I didn't! I shrieked. When did he learn to spell? Jed chimed in. Be quiet, Jed, Dad said sharply. This is serious. It isn't a joke. Sarah, take Jed out of here, Mom instructed. The two of you go to the kitchen and get breakfast started. I pointed as if I was an angry parent. Sarah began to guide Jed to the door, but he pulled away. I want to stay, he cried. I want to see how you punish Amy. Get! Get is such a good one. I need to start saying that to people. Of just like, sir, would you like to sign the petition to save the rainforest? And I'll be like, get! Watch, I will do that. And by I will do that, I mean I will continue to silently not answer and pretend they're not humans, because they're not. Mom cried, shooing him away with both hands. Sarah tugged him out of the room. I was shaking all over. I narrowed my eyes at Slappy. Had his grin grown even wider? I stared at the paintbrush in his hand, the red paint on the bristles blurred until I only saw red. I blinked several times and turned back to my parents. You really don't believe me? I asked softly, my voice trembling. They shook their heads. How can we believe you, dear? Mom replied. We can't believe that a wooden dummy has been doing these horrible things in Sarah's room. Dad added. Why don't you tell us the truth, Amy? But I am me. How could I prove it to them? How? I let out an angry cry and slammed the closet door shut. Let's try to calm down, Mom urged quietly. Let's all get dressed and have some breakfast. We can talk about this when we're feeling better. Good idea, Dad replied. Look at Mom. Her mom's just like, let's. All I care about is food. I know there's a very serious issue involving the sanity of one daughter and one daughter's room being ruined, but all I can think about is food. Still squinting at me through his glasses, he was studying me as if he'd never done before. He scratched his bald head. Guess I'll have to call a painter for Sarah's room. It'll take at least two coats to cover up the red, and I'm not Mexican. I can't do it. They turned and made their way slowly from my room, talking about how much it was going to cost to have my sister's room painted. I stood in the center of the room and shut my eyes. Every time I closed them, I saw red all over Sarah's wall. Amy, 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 Amy! But I didn't do it! I cried out loud. My heart pounding, I spun around. I grabbed the knob and jerked open the closet door. I grabbed Slappy by the shoulders of his gray jacket and pulled him up from the floor. The paintbrush fell from his hand. It landed with a thud beside my bare feet. I shook the dummy angrily, shook him so hard that his arms and legs swung back and forth. Ooh, he was doing the shmoney dance. And his head snapped back. Then I lifted him to see so that we were eye to eye. Admit it. I screamed, glaring into his grinning face. Go ahead. Admit that you did it. Tell me you did it. The glassy blue eyes gazed up at me, lifelessly, blankly. Neither of us moved. And then,
To my horror, the wooden lips parted, the red mouth slowly opened, and Slappy let out a soft, evil God damn, I'm good at reading Goosebumps. Alright, I was starting to lose steam, but I kicked it up a notch. Chapter number 15, yeah! Like that, and I was kicking it up. I can't come over, I told Margot glumly. I was sprawled on top of my bed, the phone pressed against my ear. I'm not allowed out of my room all day. Do you remember being young when you had like a house phone and you would talk on it all day? And the horrible feeling of like the heat on your ear from talking? And it'll get like gross and like damp. See, when we were young, we couldn't text and we weren't Snapchatting pictures of our genitals and we'd have to talk on the phone all day, like three-way calls with people. Huh? Why? Margot demanded. I sighed. If I told you, Margot, you wouldn't believe me. Try me, she replied. I decided not to tell her. I mean, my whole family thought I was cray. Why should my best friend think so, too? Maybe I'll tell you about it when I see you, I said. Silence on the other end. Then Margot uttered, wow. Wow? What does that mean? I cried. Wow, it must be pretty bad if you can't talk about it, Amy. It's just weird, I stammered. Can we change the subject? Another silence. Daddy has a birthday party for six-year-olds coming up, Amy. And he wondered, no. Sorry, I broke in quickly. I put Slappy away. Excuse me? Margot reacted with surprise. I put the dummy away. I told her, I'm finished with that. I'm not going to be a ventriloquist anymore. Best move ever. I wish those kids in the Magic Camp documentary would say so. The kid's like, I'm a professional musician. I've done 3 birthday parties and I have made a total of $145. Wait, I do this. I guess magic's more interesting to the average person than being like, look, imagine someone making dick jokes over a child. Yeah, magic's way better. That's universal appeal. This is so goddamn niche. And it's not advertised enough, so no one even fucking knows about it. Tell your friends I read Goosebumps, idiots. Damn it, I shouldn't tell people to do things, then call them names. Hey, tell your friends to listen, champ. Oh god, I'm gonna keep drinking. But Amy, Margot protested, you loved playing with those dummies. And you said you wanted to make some money, remember? So Daddy, no! I repeated firmly. I changed my mind, Margot. I'm sorry, tell your dad to fuck off, okay? I'll tell you about it when I see you. I swallowed hard and added, if I ever see you. You sound terrible, Margot replied softly. Should I come by over to your house and shit? Sorry, grammar's not good for me. I'm Margot. I'm an idiot. Dune's not. He read it perfectly. I think I could go. I could get my dad to drop me off. I'm totally grounded, I said unhappily. No visitors. I heard footsteps in the hall. Probably mom or dad checking on me. I wasn't allowed to be on the phone. Gotta go. Bye, Margot, I whispered and hung up the phone. Mom knocked to my bedroom door. I recognized her knock. Amy, want to talk? She called in. Not really, I replied glumly. As soon as you tell the truth, you can come out, Mom said. I know, I muttered. Why don't you just tell the truth? It's such a beautiful day, Mom called. Don't waste the whole day in your room. I don't feel like talking now, I told her. She didn't say anything else, but I could hear her standing out there. Finally, I heard her footsteps padding back down the hall. I grabbed my pillow and buried my face in it. I wanted to shut out the world and think. Think. This is creepily relatable. I got in the bath and grabbed my cocktail. I wanted to shut out the world and drink. Drink. That's how I would have done it. I wasn't going to confess to a crime I didn't do, no way. I was going to find a way to prove to them that Slappy was the culprit, and I was going to prove to them that I wasn't crazy. I had to show them that Slappy wasn't an ordinary dummy. He was alive and he was evil. But how could I prove it? I climbed to my feet and began pacing back and forth. I stopped at the window and gazed out in the front yard. It was a beautiful spring day. Bright yellow tulips bobbed in the flower patch in my front yard. The sky was a solid blue. No black people were in sight. The twin maple trees in the center of the yard were starting to unfurl fresh leaves. I took a deep breath. The air smelled so fresh and sweet due to the lack of black people. I saw Jed and a couple of friends. They were rollerblading down the sidewalk, laughing, having a good time. And I was a prisoner. A prisoner in my own room. All because of Slappy. I spun away from the window and stared at the closet door. I had shoved Slappy back into the closet and shut the door tightly. I'm gonna catch you in the act, Slappy, I decided. That's how I'm gonna prove I'm not crazy. By stalking a dummy. I'm going to stay up all night. I'm going to stay up every night. It's like she just discovered speed. Don't do that. You're going to kill yourself. And the first time you creep out of that closet, I'll be awake and I'll follow you. I'll make sure that everyone sees what you're doing. I'll make sure that everyone knows that you are the evil one in the house. I felt so upset. I knew I wasn't really thinking clearly. But having a plan made it feel a little better. Taking one last glance at the closet door, I crossed the room to my desk and started to do my homework. Ew, homework sucks. Teachers suck. No, it doesn't suck. Drinking, Briggs. Mom and Dad let me come out for dinner. Dad had grilled hamburgers in the backyard. The first barbecue of spring. I loved grilled hamburgers, what as opposed to boiled, idiot. Especially when they're charred real black. But I could barely taste my food. I guess I felt too excited and nervous about trapping Slappy. That's the name of my new mixtape. It's got a picture of him on the cover and then a bunch of, like, text with gold outlines and diamonds in the middle. Like an old Pen and Pixel thing from Crash Money Records in the late 90s. No one talked much. Mom kept chattering to Dad about the vegetable garden and what she wanted to plant. Cucumbers? Anything phallic-shaped? Sarah talked a little about the mural she had started to paint in her room. Jed kept complaining about how he wrecked his knee rollerblading. No one spoke to me. They kept glancing over the table at me, studying me like I was some kind of zoo animal. I asked to be excused before dessert. I usually stay up till 10, whoa! But a little after 9, I decided to go to bed. I was wide awake, eager to trap Slappy. I turned out the light and tucked myself in. Then I lay staring up at the shifting shadows of the bedroom ceiling, waiting, masturbating, waiting for Slappy to come creeping out of the closet. I must have fallen asleep. I tried not to, but I must have drifted off anyway. I was startled awake by sounds in the room. I raised my head, instantly alert, and listened. The scrape of feet on my carpet, a soft rustling, a shiver of fear ran down my back. I felt goosebumps up and down my arms. Wait, I'd like to pause for a second. The series is called Goosebumps. One word. But when they say goosebumps in the book, in the Goosebumps series, number 31 out of 62, halfway there, I think I'm more than halfway. It doesn't matter. Point is, he hyphenates goosebumps. Goose hyphen bumps. What the fuck? No, you're not offended by that? Alright, I'll keep going. Another low sound so near my bed. I reached forward quickly, clicking on the bed table lamp, and cried out. Really? You're not annoyed that the series is called Goosebumps, one word, and then in Goosebumps he hyphenates the word Goosebumps into two words, and what the fuck? Fine, whatever. Don't be indignant. Y'all ignorant. What's going on with old Dune? I'm going to New Orleans at the very first week of April, and I'm really wanting to go visit Gio in Houston, either before or after that, probably after. I want to go to the National, I don't know if it's the National one, but I want to go to a rodeo with him, get my Texas on. I haven't talked to him about this yet.
I think I have. Maybe I have. I'm fucking crazy. Chapter 16. "Jed, what are you doing in here?" I shrieked. He stood, blinking at me in the center of the room. One leg of his blue pajamas had rolled up. Oh, he's a Crip. His red hair was matted against one side of his head. Oh, wait, maybe he's a Blood. "What are you doing in my room?" I demanded breathlessly. He squinted at me. "Huh? Why are you yelling at me?" "You called me, Amy." I what?" I sputtered. "You called me. I heard you." He rubbed his eyes with his fingers and yawned. "I was asleep. You woke me up?" I lowered my feet to the floor and stood up. My legs felt shaky and weak. Jed had really scared me. "I was asleep too," I told him. "I didn't call you." "Yes, you did," he insisted. "You told me to come to your room?" He bent to pull down the pajama leg. "Jed, you just woke me up," I replied. "So how could I call you?" He scratched his hair. He yawned again. "You mean I dreamed it?" I studied his face. "Jed, did you sneak into my room to play some kind of prank?" I demanded sternly.
"Franklin, leave Yoda alone."
Sorry. Pet drama. I demanded sternly. He wrinkled his face up, tried to appear innocent. "Did you?" I demanded. "Were you going into the closet to do something with Slappy?" "No way," he protested. He started to back out of the room. "Sorry. I'm telling the truth, Amy. I thought you called me, that's all." I squinted hard at him, trying to decide if he was telling the truth. I let my eyes wander around the room. Everything seemed okay. Dennis lay in the armchair, his head in his lap. The closet door remained closed. "It was all a dream, that's all," Jed repeated. "Good night, Amy." I said good night. "Sorry I got upset, Jed. It's just been a bad day." I listened to him pad back to his room. That's what walking sounds like. The cat poked his head into my room, his eyes gleaming like gold. "Go to sleep, George," I whispered. "You go to sleep too, okay?" He obediently turned and disappeared. I clicked off the bed table lamp and settled back into bed. Jed was telling the truth, I decided. He seemed as confused as I was. My eyes suddenly felt heavy, as if there were 100-pound weights over them. I let out a loud yawn. "You couldn't lift them up at all, obviously. Even if there's 1-pound weights, idiot, you can't get those kind of reps. All right? I'm going to start working out my eyes. Using fish hooks on an eyelid piercing. Get some reps in, and I'm going to wink at people like a motherfucker. That's a shitty plan. I'm not going to do that. I felt so sleepy, and the pillow felt so warm and soft. But I couldn't let myself fall back to sleep. I had to stay awake. Had to wait for Slappy to make his move. Did I drift back to sleep? I'm not sure. A loud click made my eyes shoot open wide. I raised my head in time to see the closet door start to open. The room lay in darkness, so no light washed in from the window. The door was a black shadow, sliding slowly. Slowly, my heart began to pound. My mouth suddenly felt as dry as cotton. The closet door slid slowly, silently, a low creak, and then a shadow stepped out from behind the door. I squinted hard at it, not moving a muscle. What about your heart? Your heart's a muscle, idiot. You'd die if that didn't move. Nailed it! Technicality death! Another creak of the door. The figure took another silent step. Out of the closet. Gay joke. Another step. Another. Making its way past my bed to the bedroom door. Slappy? Yes. Even in the night darkness, I could see his large, rounded head. I watched his skinny arms dangle at his sides. The wooden hands bobbed as he moved. I'm sorry this chair is shitty. I got it from my old buddy when he was about to throw it out, and it squeaks, which is annoying when I'm recording. If someone wants to, they can buy me a chair, but you don't need to. I'm just saying, if I get money, I'm not going to spend on a chair. I'm going to use it for, like, hosting and living. Because I'm a poor person. The heavy leather shoes slid on my carpet. The thin, boneless legs nearly collapsed with each shuffling step. Like a scarecrow, I thought, gripped with horror. He walks like a scarecrow because he has no bones. No bones at all. Up and down, his whole body bobbed as he crept away. I waited until he slithered and scraped out the door into the hall, and then I jumped to my feet. I took a deep breath and I held it.
Then I tiptoed through the darkness after him. Here we go, I told myself. Here we go.
I really hope I stop singing on the next chapter.
Chapter 17.
I stopped at the bedroom door and poked my head into the hall. My mom keeps a small nightlight on all night just outside her bedroom door because she's scared of dieting. It casts a dim yellow light over the other end of the hall. Peering into the light, I watch Slappy pull himself silently towards Sarah's room. The big shoes shuffled along the carpet. Slappy's body bobbed and bent. The big wooden hands nearly dragged along the floors. When my chest started to ache, I realized I hadn't taken a breath, idiot. As silently as I could, I let out a long whoosh of air, and then I took another deep breath and started to follow Slappy down the hall. I had a sudden impulse to shout, "Mom! Dad!" They would all burst out of the room and see Slappy standing in the middle of the hall, but no, I didn't want to shout for them now. I wanted to see where Slappy was heading. What? It literally said the paragraph before, or a couple of paragraphs before, Slappy pulled himself silently toward Sarah's room. And then it goes, I want to see where Slappy's heading. Yeah, alright. Good job fucking giving the punchline before the setup. I wanted to see what he planned to do. I took a step. The floorboard creaked under my bare foot. Did he hear me? I pressed my back against the wall. I tried to squeeze myself flat in the deep shadows. I peered through the dim yellow light at him. He kept bobbing silently along. His shoulders rose up and down with each shuffling step. He was just outside Sarah's room when he turned around. My heart stopped. He ducked low, dropped back into the bathroom. Had he seen me? Had he turned around because he knew I was there? I shut my eyes, waited, and listened for him to come scraping back. Listened for him to turn around and come back to me. Silence. I swallowed hard. My mouth felt so dry, my legs were trembling. I grabbed the tile wall to steady myself. Still silent out there. I gathered up my courage and slowly poked my head out into the hall, empty. I squinted towards Sarah's room in the yellow light. No one there. He's in Sarah's room. I told myself he's going to do something terrible in Sarah's room. I thought he went to the bathroom. Something I'll be blamed for. Not this time, Slappy. I silently vowed. That's all the people on the subreddit of NoFap. Not this time, Slappy. This time you're going to get caught. Pressing against the wall, I crept down the hall. Errant rhymes. I stopped in Sarah's doorway. The nightlight was plugged in across from Sarah's room. The light was brighter here. I squinted into her bedroom. I could see the murals she had started to paint. A beach scene, the ocean, a broad yellow beach, kites flying over the beach, kids building a sandcastle in one corner. The mural was all tacked up, nearly covering the entire wall. Where was Slappy? I took a step into the room and saw him. Standing at her paint table. I saw his big wooden hand fumble over a table of supplies. Then he grabbed a paintbrush in one hand. He raised and lowered the brush as if pretending to paint the air. Then I saw him dip the paintbrush in a jar of... You ready, listeners? Paint! Slappy took a step toward the mural, then another step, two steps. He's a two-stepping motherfucker. He stood for a moment, admiring the mural. He raised the paintbrush high. That's when I burst into the room. I dove toward the dummy as he had just raised the paintbrush to the mural. I grabbed the paintbrush in with one hand and wrapped my other hand around his waist and tugged him back. The dummy kicked both legs and tried to punch me with his little dummy fists. Hey! A startled voice shouted. The light clicked on. Slappy went limp in my arm. His head dropped. His arms and legs dangled on the floor. Sitting up in bed, Sarah gaped at me in horror. I saw her eyes stop at the paintbrush in my hand. Amy, what are you doing? Sarah cried. And then, without waiting for an answer, Sarah began to shout, Mom! Dad! Hurry! She's in here again! I'm out of steel reserve, so I'm going to make a cocktail. You guys hang in there. It's going to take me a minute or two, but time is not going to pass in your world because of the magic of editing. All right, let's do this! Chapter 18! Dad came in rumbling in first and came in into... God damn it, let's not get this hype before we start. Okay, new cocktail was Trader Joe's vodka with some, what, mineral water, and then a little splash of cranberry apple. Let's bring it down. We brought it up too much too quick. Chapter 18. Dad came rumbling in first, adjusting his pajama pants due to his large erection. What's going on? What's the problem? Mom followed right behind him because her obesity slowed her down, blinking and yawning. I took this from Slappy, I stammered, holding up the paintbrush. He was gonna ruin the mural. They stared at the paintbrush in my hand. I heard Slappy sneak out of the closet, I explained breathlessly. I followed him into Sarah's room. I grabbed him just before he did something terrible. That's rad if, like, Lee Harvey Oswald was like, the president was about to nuke the U.S. for no reason, just because he was bummed out about his, like, debilitating back problems or whatever he had. And I saved everyone, but no one believes me. I turned to Sarah. You saw Slappy, right? You saw him. Yeah, Sarah said, still in bed, her arms crossed over her chest. I see Slappy. You're carrying him in your arm. The dummy hung over my arm, its head nearly hitting the floor. No, I cried to Sarah. You saw him sneak into your room, right? That's why you turned on the light. Sarah rolled her eyes. I saw you come into the room, she replied. You are carrying the dummy, Amy. The dummy that you're holding? And the brush. But, I sputtered. My eyes darted from face to face. They all stared back at me, as if I had just landed on Earth in a flying saucer. No one in my family was going to believe me. No one. Drinking break with the new drink. Can't get too drunk. I got to cook dinner in a little bit. The next morning, Mom hung up the phone as I came down for breakfast. You're wearing shorts to school? She asked, eyeing my outfit. Olive green shorts and a red sleeveless t-shirt. That bitch Christmassy. The radio said it was going to be hot and I didn't want to butt sweat too much, I replied. Jet and Sarah were already at the table. They glanced up from their cereal bowls but didn't say shit. I poured myself a glass of grape juice, filling it to the brim with vodka. I'm the only one in the family who doesn't like orange juice. I guess I am totally weird. Yeah, you are. You're into ventriloquism, idiot. Who are you talking to on the phone? I asked Mom. I took a long drink. Dr. Palmer's secretary? She replied hesitantly. You have purple above your lip, she told me, pointing. I wiped the grape juice off with a napkin. Did I say grapefruit the first time? It's grape juice. I thought it was grapefruit. That's why the purple threw me off. Maybe she's putting lean in it. Dr. Palmer, isn't he a shrink? I asked. Mom nodded. What kind of 12-year-old knows the town's therapist community? Who hasn't been? That's the main part of the question. Whatever. I tried to get an appointment for today, but she can't see you until Wednesday. But Mom, I protested. Mom placed a finger over her mouth. Shh, 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 shh. No discussion. But Mom, I repeated. Shh. Just talk to her once, Amy. You might enjoy it. You might think it's helpful. Yeah, sure, I muttered. I turned to Sarah and Jed. They stared down at their cereal bowls. I sighed and set the juice glass down in the sink. I knew what this meant. It meant I had until Wednesday to prove to my family that I wasn't a total whack job. Ooh. I don't know how long the chapter is, but it has another drinking break. Well, thank you, R.L. Stone. I'll send my cirrhosis hospital bills to you. In the lunchroom at school, Margot begged me to tell her what was going on with me. Why were you locked up in your room all day yesterday? She demanded. Come on, Amy, spill. It's no big deal, I lied. No way I was going to tell her. I didn't need the story going around the school that Amy Kramer, believes her ventriloquist dummy is alive. I didn't need everyone whispering about me and staring at me the way everyone in my family did. Dad wants to know if you'll change your mind about the birthday party, Margot said. If you want to perform with Slappy, you can. No. Forget it, I interrupted. I put Slappy in the closet and he's staying in that bitch forever. Margo's eyes went wide.
Okay, okay, wow! You don't have to bite my fucking head off, bitch!
Sorry, I said quickly. I'm a little stressed out these days. Here, want this? I handed her the brownie Mom had packed. Turns out it was an indica brownie, and if she would have taken it, she would have chilled out and not been stressed anymore.
Thanks, Margo replied, surprised.
Later. Oh, it wasn't later as in, like, 3 days later. It was later as in, later, I said. I crinkled up my lunch bag, tossed it in the trash, and hurried away.
Another drinking break? Wow, this book should be called Night of the Living Santa because it's Christmas for old Dune. Night of Living Santa 2, I guess.
You know what? That sounds terrible. It should just be what it is. In my room that night, I couldn't concentrate on my homework. I kept staring at the calendar. Monday night, I only had 2 nights to prove that I wasn't crazy, that Slappy was doing the horrible things. I slammed my history book shut. No way I could read about the firing on Fort Sumter tonight. I paced back and forth for a while, thinking hard, but getting nowhere.
That's because you close your school books, okay?
Take a look. It's in a book, Reading Rainbow. I can but negative.
What can I do? What? After a while, my head felt about to split open. I reached up both hands and tugged my hair.
I let out a furious cry of anger, of frustration, also like the Murlocs in World of Warcraft. Maybe I'll just get rid of Slappy, I decided. Maybe I'll take him outside and toss him in the trash, and that will end the whole problem. The idea made me feel a little better. I turned and took 2 steps toward the closet. But I stopped with a gasp when I saw the doorknob slowly turn. As I stared in shock, the closet door swung the fuck open. Slappy stepped out. He slumped forward and stopped a few feet in front of me. His blue eyes glared up at me. His grin grew wider.
Amy, he rasped, it's time you and I had a little talk.
Spooky, spooky, spooky goosebumps. Spooky goosebumps. Read by Dune. That's Dune. Dune, Dune, Dune. From Dune reads Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Chapter number 19, ladies.
Amy, you are now my slave.
Slappy said. His threat came out in a harsh, cold rasp. The eerie voice made me shiver.
Giovanni texted me.
I stared back at him. I couldn't reply. Gio would like me to get the point across to all of the listeners that no matter how much people claim to be your friends or love you, even family, still, they won't even listen to some of your, let alone all of your podcasts. But the people who hate you won't miss a minute. Geo Fuchsia says, that's racist, Geo. Please. This episode, I'm only being racist towards black people and Mexican people. Okay? I'm not doing Asian stuff this time. Giving them a break.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the thing where
people actually listen to hate me. I think it's because it's story format and you have to deal with me a lot, dude. You know? You have to be with me for the whole ride. You're giving people content related to something else that they like, so they want just that content occasionally and get angry with you, but I don't know. It's all me all the way through. They just gotta deal with it. I don't know. Anyway, the Slappy's like, you're a slave, bitch! I stared back at him and I couldn't reply. I gaped into those glassy blue eyes, that red-lipped smirk.
You read the ancient words that bring me to life, the dummy whispered, and now you will serve me. You will do everything I ask, even butt stuff.
No, I managed to choke out.
No, please.
Yes, he cried. What a great arguer. The grinning wooden head bobbed up and down, nodding,
yes, Amy, you are my slave now, my slave forever.
I won't,
I stammered. You can't make me. My voice caught in my throat. My legs wobbled like rubber. My knees buckled and I nearly fell. Slappy raised one hand and grabbed my wrist. I felt the cold wooden fingers tighten around me.
You will do as I tell you from now on,
the dummy whispered.
Or else.
Let go of me, I cried. I struggled to tug my arm free, but his grasp was too tight. Or else what? I cried, because this was written in 1995, and that's the only answer to or else.
Or else I will destroy your sister's mural,
Slappy replied. His painted... God damn! Slappy choked me for making fun of him through the monitor, all just like some sort of badass version of Darth Vader who... What do you mean a badass version of Darth Vader? As if Darth Vader's a pussy? Alright. I guess a badass version of young Anakin who is Darth Vader? Whatever. Doesn't matter. He's painted... His maned grin grew wider. The eyes glared into mine. Big deal, I muttered. Do you really think I'll be your slave because you wreck her painting? You've already wrecked Sarah's room, haven't you? That doesn't mean I'll be your slave.
I'll keep on destroying things,
Slappy replied, tightening his grip on my wrist, tugging me down toward him.
Maybe I'll start wrecking your brother's things, too. And you will be blamed, Amy. You will be blamed for it all!
Stop! I cried, trying to twist free.
Your parents are already worried about you, aren't they, Amy?
The dummy rasped in that harsh, cold, whispery voice.
Your parents already think you're crazy.
Stop. Please, I pleaded.
Why do you think they'll do...
Alcohol, do your thing.
What do you think they'll do when you start wrecking everything in the house?
Slappy demanded.
What do you think they'll do, Amy?
Listen to me, I shrieked. You can't. He jerked my arm hard.
They'll send you away,
he rasped, his eyes flashing wildly.
That's what your parents will do. They'll send you away, and you'll never see them again, except on visiting days.
I feel like him knowing the policy of visiting days makes him far less creepy rather than just never seeing them again. He tilted back his wooden head and uttered a shrill laugh. A low moan escaped my throat. My entire body shuddered with terror. Slappy tugged me closer.
You will be an excellent slave.
He whispered in my ear.
You and I will have many good years together. You will devote your life to me, like Dune has devoted his life to Goosebumps, because Franklin makes him.
No, I cried. No, I won't, and Dune won't either. Franklin can't tell him how to live his life. I sucked in a deep breath, then... I swung my arm hard as I could. I caught the dummy by surprise before he could let go of my wrist. I pulled him off balance. He let out a startled grunt as I lifted him off the floor. He's just a dummy, I told myself. Just a dummy. I can handle him. I can beat him. Yeah, that's what John Kerry said. Topical humor. His hand fell off my wrist. I ducked low, grabbed his boneless arm with both hands, and swung my shoulder, flipping him over my back. He landed hard on his stomach. His head made a loud clonk as it hit the floor. Breathing hard, my heart suddenly thudded wildly. I dove. I can handle him. I can beat him. I'm the best around. No dummy's ever gonna keep me down. I'm the best around, and nothing sounds better than Dune sounds. I tried to pin him to the floor with my knees, but he spun away and scrambled up faster than I could believe. I cried out as he swung his wooden fist. I tried to dodge away, but he was too fast. The heavy fist hit me square in the forehead. My face felt as if it exploded. Pain shot down my body. Everything went bright red, and
holding both sides of my head, I crumpled to the floor. I know it's a dummy and stuff, but can you just make a book where you punch 12-year-old girls in the fucking face? I don't know. Either way, it's rad. Chapter number 20. Yeah. I can handle him. I can beat him. The words repeated in my mind. I blinked my eyes, raised my head. I refused to give up. Through the haze of red, I reached up with both hands. I grabbed Slappy by the waist and pulled him down. Waist and wrist always throw me off while reading out loud. Ignoring my throbbing forehead, I wrestled him to the ground. He kicked both feet and thrashed his arm wildly. He swung at me, tried to land another blow, but I dug my knee into his middle. His middle? Then I wrapped my hands around his thrashing arms and pinned them to the floor. Let go, slave! He squealed. I command you, let go! He struggled and squirmed, but I held tight. His eyes darted frantically from side to side. His wooden jaw clicked open and shut as he strained to squirm free. More texts from Gio. I'll respond to him after this, or I'll incorporate it into the podcast. I command you to let go, slave. You have no choice. You must obey me. I ignored his shrill cries and swung his arms behind his back, holding them tightly in place, climbing to my feet. He tried to kick me with both shoes, but I let go of the arms and grabbed his legs. I swung him upside down. Once again, his head hit the floor with a loud clonk. As in Clonky from Pee-wee's Playhouse. It didn't seem to hurt him a bit. Let go, slave. You will pay dearly for this. This is like what 50 Shades of Grey is, right? It's some girl that's like, I don't know what's going on. I'm 12 and confused. And a guy going like, hello, slave. Let me stuff things in your pooper. He screamed and protested and squirmed and swinging his arms, breathing hard. I dragged him across the rug and swung him into the open closet. He dove quickly, trying to escape, but I slammed the door in his stupid fucking face and I turned the lock. Who has a lock on their closet? R.L. Stine, you've never met a carpenter before because your people killed Jesus. Boom! Burn! With a sigh, I leaned my back against the closet door and struggled to catch my breath. Let me out! You can't keep me here! Slappy ragged. He began pounding on the door, then he kicked the door. I'll break it down, I really will. He threatened. He pounded even harder. The big wooden hands thudded against the wooden door. I turned and saw the door start to give. He's gonna break it open. I realized, what can I do? What can I do now? I tried to fight back my panic, struggled to think clearly. Slappy furiously kicked at the door. I need help, I decided. I bolted into the hall. Mom and Dad had their bedroom door closed, I saw. Should I wake them up? No, they wouldn't believe me. I dragged them into my room. Slappy would be slumped lifelessly in the closet floor. Mom and Dad would be even more upset with me. Sarah, I thought maybe I can convince Sarah. Maybe Sarah will listen to me. Her door was open. I burst into her bedroom. She stood at the mural, brush in hand, dabbing yellow paint on the beach. She turned as I ran in. Her face tightened in anger. Amy, what do you want? She demanded. You've got to believe me, I sputtered. I need your help. It wasn't me who did those horrible things. It wasn't Sarah. It was Slappy. Please believe me, it was Slappy. Yes, I know. Sarah replied calmly. Oh shit, what does Sarah know? I bet we'll find out in chapter 21. Alright, I gotta stop being a douchebag on Facebook and finish this. Chapter number 21. Huh? My mouth dropped open. I stared at her in surprise. What did you say? Sarah set down the paintbrush. She wiped her hands on her gray smock. Amy, I know it's Slappy. She repeated in a whisper. I was so stunned I couldn't speak, but Sarah, you... I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. She cried with emotion. There's no other way to cry, R.L. Stine. You were just trying to reach a word count. She rushed forward and threw her arms around me. She hugged me tightly. I still didn't believe what she had said. My head was spinning. I gently pushed her away. That was a weird whistle.
You knew all this time? You knew it was Slappy and not me? The other night I woke up and I heard someone in my room. I pretended to be asleep, but my eyes opened partway.
And? I demanded. I saw Slappy, Sarah confessed, lowering her eyes.
I saw him carrying a red paintbrush. I saw him painting Amy, 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 all over the walls. But you didn't tell Mom and Dad? I cried. You made them think it was me? And the whole time you knew the truth, cunt?
Sarah kept her eyes on the floor. Her black hair fell over her face like the girl from The Ring. She brushed it back with a quick, nervous sweep of one hand.
I didn't want to believe it, she confessed. I didn't want to believe that a dummy could walk on its own and could be alive.
I glared at her. And so?
So I accused you, Sarah said with a sob. I guess the truth was just too scary. I was too frightened, Amy. I wanted to believe it was you doing those horrible things. I wanted to pretend it wasn't the dummy.
What a bitch. Sarah sucks.
You wanted to get me in trouble? I accused. That's why you did it, Sarah? That's why you lied to Mom and Dad? You wanted to get me in trouble?
She finally raised her face to me. I saw two tears trailing down her cheeks.
Yeah, I guess so.
She murmured. She wiped the tears off with just her hands. Her green eyes locked on mine.
I guess I'm just a little jealous of you, she said. God, girls are just, this is what girls do. It's just, I'm jealous of you and I'm jealous of you, and we all secretly hate ourselves, so let's take it out on other people, because that's how we live our lives. Huh?
My sister had stunned me again. I squinted at her, trying to make sense of her words.
You? I cried. You're jealous of me?
All this hard questioning has fucked up my throat. She nodded.
Yeah, I guess. Everything is easy for you. You're so relaxed. Everyone likes your sense of humor. It's not like that for me, Sarah explained. I have to paint to impress people.
I opened my mouth, but no sound came out. This had to be the biggest surprise of all. Sarah, jealous of me?
What? I just explained that all girls are jealous. The biggest surprise is the cursed dummy that's doing horrible things in your name.
Idiot.
Didn't she know how jealous I was of her? I suddenly had a funny feeling in my chest. My eyes brimmed with tears. Strong emotion swept over me like an ocean wave. I rushed forward and hugged Sarah. For some reason, we both started laughing. I can't explain it. We stood there in the middle of her room laughing like lunatics. I guess we were just so glad that the truth was out. Then, Slappy's painted face flashed back into my mind.
By the way, that just reminded me I needed to text my brother, which I was about to do, but I'll wait till the end of this chapter, like a decent human being.
And I remembered with a chill why I had burst in my sister's room. You have to help me, I told her right now.
Sarah's smile vanished.
Help you do what?
She demanded.
We have to get rid of Slappy, I told her. We have to get rid of him for good.
Judging by the fact that there's a Night of the Living Dummy 3 and a merchandising line, and that he's still coming out with books about him, I bet they don't get rid of him for good.
I tugged her hand. She followed me down the hall. But how? She asked. Stepping into my room, we both cried out at once. We heard a final kick, and the closet door swung open. Slappy burst out, his eyes wide with rage. Guess what, slaves? He rasped. Slappy wins. Chapter number 22.
Grab him, I cried to my sister. I reached out both arms and made a frantic dive for the dummy, but he scampered away to the side and slipped away from my tackle. His blue eyes flashed excitedly, his red lips twisted in an ugly grin.
Give up, slaves, he rasped. You cannot win.
Where's that Benny Alano guy? I need to record his audiobook for like $500 so I can get money because I'm going to New Orleans. That was a side thought that I cut myself off with. Sarah held back, hands against the doorframe. I could see the fear in her eyes. I made another grab for Slappy. Missed again. Sarah, help me! Probably more than 500. I pleaded. I'm just saying, it's a lot of work. And, you know, you can pay me in something else, wink. Sarah took a step into the room. I leaped at Slappy, grabbed one boneless ankle with a grunt. He pulled out of my grasp. He darted toward the door and ran right into Sarah. The collision stunned them both. Sarah staggered back. Slappy teetered off balance. I threw myself at him, caught his arms and pulled them behind his back. Sorry, I was distracted reading that as I spit on my monitor, and then I was trying to wipe it off. He squirmed and twisted. He kicked out furiously, but Sarah grabbed both of his big leather shoes. Tie him in a knot! Tie him in a bow! Does your chain hang low? She cried breathlessly. He kicked and thrashed, but we held tight. I twisted his arms behind him, twisted them around each other, twisted, then tied them in a knot. As tight as I could. Slappy squirmed and bucked, grunting loudly, his wooden jaws clicked. When I glanced up from my work on the arms, I saw that Sarah had wrapped his legs in a knot too. Slappy tilted back his head and uttered a roar of rage. His eyes slid up into his head so that only the white showed. Put me down, slaves! Put me down at once! With one hand, I grabbed a wad of tissues from my bed table and jammed it into Slappy's mouth. He uttered a grunt of protest, then went silent. Bet you wish I would do that. Just kidding, you're still listening. You're like 3 hours into that. Of course you want me to finish. Now what? Sarah cried breathlessly. Where should we put him? My eyes shot around the room. No, I decided. I don't want him in my room. I don't want him in the house. By the way, realizing that you're an hour and a half into, like, every episode, I was like, man, how did Dan Carlin do so much hardcore history? And then I'm like, wait, I've done more Goosebumps than he's done hardcore history. Dear God. Oh, what should I do with my life? Outside, I instructed my sister, holding on to the knotted arms with both of my hands. Let's get him outside. Struggling to hold on to the buckling legs, Sarah glanced at the clock. It's after 11. What if Mom and Dad hear us? I don't give a shit, bitch. There's a fucking dummy doing evil shit, idiot. I cried. Hurry, I want him out of here. I want to never see him again. We dragged Slappy out into the hall. Mom and Dad's door remained closed. Good, I thought. They hadn't heard the struggle. Sarah carried him by the knotted legs. I held on to the arms. Slappy had stopped struggling and squirming. I think he was waiting to see what we were going to do with him. The wad of tissues had silenced his cries. Why didn't they, like, duct tape the fuck out of him? Or set him on fire? Put him in fucking... I guess you can't get a vat of acid when you're 12 and 14. Or 28. Where would I get a vat of acid? I can barely handle like 2 sugar cubes, you know what I'm saying? I don't know where to take him. I only knew I wanted him out of the fucking house. We carried him through the darkened living room and out the front door. We stepped into a hot, sticky night, more like summer than spring. A pale sliver of moon hovered low in a blue-black sky. There was no breeze, no sounds of any kind. Nothing moved. Sarah and I carried the dummy to the driveway. We should take him somewhere on... Or, sorry. Should we take him somewhere on our bikes? She suggested. How will we balance him? I asked. Besides, it's too dark. Too dangerous. Let's just carry him a few blocks and dump him somewhere. You're gonna have a problem killing hookers when you're older. Trust me. Also, there's no drinking break anytime soon, so I'm gonna grab this. You mean in a trash can or something? Sarah asked. I nodded. That's where he belongs, in the trash. Luckily, the dummy didn't weigh much at all. We made our way to the sidewalk, then carried him to the end of the block. Slappy remained limp. That's why I call him Slappy, am I right? His eyes rolled up in his head. At the corner, I spotted 2 circles of white light approaching. Car headlights. Or 2 of those fat guys on the, little motor scooters together, like in the Michael Jackson. Forget it. Quick!
I whispered to Sarah. We slipped behind a hedge just in time. The car rolled by without slowing. We waited for the glow of red taillights to disappear in the darkness. Then we continued down the block, carrying the dummy between us. Hey, how about those? Sarah asked, pointing with her free hand. I squinted to see what she had spotted. A row of metal trash cans lined up at the curb in front of a dark house across the street. Looks good, I said. Let's shove him in and clamp the lid down tight. Maybe the trash guys will haul him away tomorrow. I led the way across the street and then stopped. Sarah, wait, I whispered. I have a better idea. I dragged the dummy toward the corner. I motioned to the metal drain down at the curb. Oh no, don't throw him in the sewer. Then every time you poop, he's going to stick his hand up in your butt. I saw it on Dirty Jobs. The sewer? Sarah whispered. I nodded. It's perfect. Through the narrow opening of the curb, I could hear running water far below. Come on, shove him in. I'm going to do an art project where I spray paint over the I live downstream things with dolphins and stuff at the sewer. And instead of dolphins, I'm going to put little dummies. And people are like, man, Dune did that. I love that show Goosebumps he does. And they're like, yeah, I love Dune too. We should give him money. And I was like, yeah. Somehow I was involved eventually. Slappy still didn't move or protest in any way. I lowered his head to the drain opening, then Sarah and I pushed him in head first. I heard a splash and a hard thud as he hit the sewer floor. Well, he probably hit Raffalandolo, the best turtle. We both listened. Silence. Then, the soft trickle of water. Maybe he's going pee-pee, all right? At his dingle. Sarah and I grinned at each other. We hurried home. I was so happy. I skipped most of the way. Ooh, that actually is a drinking break. Don't worry, I'll handle this. The next morning, Sarah and I came to the kitchen for breakfast together. Mom turned from the counter. Where she was pouring herself a cup of coffee. I see where, and then I start asking a question, which was inappropriate. Jed was already at the table, eating his Frosted Flakes. What's he doing down here? Jed asked. He pointed across the table. At Slappy, sitting in the fucking chair. What the fuck? We'll find out in chapter 23. Don't worry, we're almost done. Fuck, why do I do this? It's so time-consuming and so difficult. Chapter, I have my eyes closed, just resting them. 23, chapter 23. Fuck! Sarah and I both gasped. Yes, what is that dummy doing down here? Mom asked me. I found him sitting there when I came home this morning. Why is he so dirty? Where has he been, Amy? I could barely choke out a word. I guess he fell or something? I managed to mumble. We'll take him back upstairs, Mom ordered. He's supposed to be kept in the closet, remember? Yeah, I remember, I said, sighing. You'll have to clean him up later, Mom said, stirring her coffee. She's probably putting bacon grease in it. He looks as if he's been wallowing in the mud. Okay, I replied weakly. I hoisted Slappy up and slung him over my shoulder. Then I started to my room. I'll come with you, Sarah stammered. What for? Mom demanded. Sit down, Sarah, and eat your breakfast. You're both going to be late, and you'll never grow up like me if you don't eat your breakfast and second breakfast, third breakfast, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth lunch, and so on with dinner because I'm fat. Sarah obediently and not obesely sat down across from Jed. I made my way down the hall. I was halfway to my room when Slappy raised his head and whispered in my ear, Good morning, slave. Did you sleep well? I tossed him into the closet and locked the door. I could hear him laughing inside the closet. The evil laugh made me shake all over. What am I going to do now? I asked myself. What can I do to get rid of this creature? Ooh, it's a drinking break. And another one soon after. The day dragged by. I don't think I heard a word my teacher said. Teachers suck anyway. I couldn't get Slappy's evil, grinning face out of my mind. His raspy voice rattled in my ears. I won't be your slave, I silently vowed. I'll get you out of my house, out of my life, if it's the last thing I do. Another drinking break.
Well, that's done. That night, I lay awake in my bed. How could I sleep knowing the evil dummy sat in my closet a few feet away? The night was hot and steamy. I had pushed the window open all the way, but there was no breeze. A fly buzzed by my head. The first fly of spring. Staring up at the twisting shadows in the ceiling, I brushed the fly away with one hand. As soon as the buzzing vanished, another sound took its place. A click. A low squeak. The sound of the closet door opening. I raised myself up on the pillow, squinting into the darkness. I saw Slappy creep out of the closet. He took a few shuffling steps, his big shoes sliding silently over my carpet. You know, big shoes mean on a dummy, right? The carpenter made them large. Just like the carpenter Christ made mine now. No, he didn't. He turned. Was he coming toward my bed? No. His head and shoulders bobbed as he pulled himself to the door, then out into the hall. He's going into Sarah's room, I knew. But what is he going to do in there? Did he plan to pay us back for what we did to him last night? What new horror was he going to create? I lowered my feet to the floor. I climbed out of bed and followed him into the hall. All right, let's do this. Chapter 24. My eyes adjusted quickly to the dim yellow light from the nightlight at the other end of the hall. I watched Slappy slither toward my sister's room. He moved as silently as a shadow. I held my breath and kept my back against the wall as I followed him behind him. When he turned into Sarah's room, I stepped away from the wall and started to run. I reached the bedroom doorway in time to see Slappy pick up a wide paintbrush from Sarah's supply table. He took a step toward the mural on the wall. One step. By the way, this is what the evil puppet can do, the tiny guy that can get anywhere silently. All it does is paint on things. And then another small figure leaped out in the darkness. The lights flashed on. Dennis, I cried. Stand back. Okay, it says Dennis ordered in a high, shrill voice. Stand back! Dennis ordered in a high, shrill voice. That's much better. He lowered his wooden head and charged at Slappy. Sarah sat in her bed and uttered a frightened cry. I could see the stunned expression on Slappy's face. Dennis flew at Slappy. He slammed his head into Slappy's middle. Slappy let out a loud, "Ugh!" and staggered back and fell. A loud thud rang through the room as the back of Slappy's head hit Sarah's iron bedpost. I raised both hands to my cheeks and gasped as Slappy's head cracked the fuck open. The wooden head split down the middle like a fucking butt crack, and his fucking butthole was the devil. How rad would that be if you wrote that in there? I watched the evil face crack apart. The wide eyes, shocked eyes slid in different directions. The red lips cracked and fell away. The head dropped to the floor in two pieces, and then the body collapsed in a heap beside them. My hands still pressed against my face. My heart pounded. I took a few steps into the room. Dennis ran past me, out to the hall. But my eyes were locked on the two pieces of Slappy's head. By the way, Dennis, if I'm not mistaken, is the other dummy she had previously. It's not the cat, right? It has to be the other dummy, obviously. He was holding the head. So, okay, it's the original dummy she had. She barely mentioned it in this half of the book, and maybe you're listening to this days apart. I'm just trying to help. All I do is try to help, and I get nothing. I stared in horror as the enormous white worm crawled out of one of the pieces. The fat worm slithered and curled to the wall and vanished into a crack in the molding. What the fuck? I'm going to read that again because it's important. He's apparently like a Trill, like the species that Dax is from Deep Space Nine, but I'm going to go back to this paragraph because it's important. But my eyes were locked on the two pieces of Slappy's head. I stared in horror as an enormous white worm crawled out of one of the pieces. The fat worm slithered and curled to the wall and vanished into a crack in the molding. Sarah climbed out of bed, breathing hard, her face bright red from excitement. The closet door swung open. Mom and Dad came bursting out. "Girls, are you okay?" Dad cried. We nodded. We saw the whole thing. "Why didn't you help, bitch?" Mom exclaimed. She threw her arms around me. "Amy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We should have believed you. I'm so sorry we didn't believe you."
We believe you now, Dad declared. Obviously, you believe her now. You just watched it all, idiot. You don't have to explain that. Dad declared, staring down at Slappy's broken head, his crumpled body. We saw everything. It was all planned. Sarah and I worked it out before dinner. Sarah convinced my mom and dad to hide in the closet. Mom and dad were really creeped out by the way I was acting. They were willing to do anything. So Sarah pretended to go to sleep. Mom and dad hid in the closet. I left the closet door unlocked to make it easier for Slappy to get out. I knew Slappy would creep into Sarah's room. I knew Mom and Dad would finally see that I'm not crazy and potentially have sex in my sister's closet, but that's no big deal. I want another sister or brother anyway. Anyway, and then Jed burst out dressed as Dennis, with Dennis's head propped on top of his turtleneck. So, okay, all right, that makes sense. Sorry, listeners. And we knew that that would shock Slappy. We knew it would give us a chance to grab him. We didn't know what a great job Jed would do. We didn't know that Jed would actually destroy the evil dummy. We didn't know that Slappy's head would crack apart. That was just luck. By the way, obviously, the ending of this is going to be that the brother fell asleep in his bed, and it turns out the other dummy did come back and save everything. Hey, where is Jed? See? I asked, my eyes searching the room. Jed? Jed? Mom called. Where are you? You did a great job. No reply. No sign of my brother. Weird, Sarah muttered, shaking her head. We all trooped down the hall to Jed's room. We found him in bed, sound asleep. He groggily raised his head from the pillow and squinted at us.
What time is it?
He asked sleepily. It's nearly 11, Dad replied.
Oh no,
Jed cried, sitting up. I'm sorry, I forgot to wake up. I forgot I was supposed to dress up like Dennis. Come on, RL. I felt a shiver run down my back. I turned to my parents.
Then who fought Slappy? I asked.
Who fought? I'm going to go back. I felt a shiver run down my back. I turned to my parents.
Then who fought Slappy? I asked. Who fought Slappy?
The end. Well, that concludes part two of Night of the Living Dummy by R.L. Stein, or, you know, part two of the series of The Dummy, whatever, you know what I'm talking about. That was fine, it wasn't as bad as the last one, right? I don't know what I'm doing. It's harder and harder to read all these, maybe I am getting old, but I'm gonna keep trying, I'm gonna get all these up. Keep communicating with me, it really does help, I really do appreciate it. Until then, I'm doing, I'm around the internet and shit. You don't have to worry. And until then, you guys can. What can you do? You ready? Stay spooky, bitches.